Good afternoon. This is Brian Papstein. Welcome to KINS Radio's presentation of Meet the Candidates, our special series to help you get to know the views and opinions of candidates for local offices. In this segment, we'll be hearing from Dan Coleman, candidate for the newly formed Fortuna Elementary School Board. Each segment of our Meet the Candidates is 16 minutes long. Welcome, Dan.
Well, nice to meet you, Brian.
And we give everybody an opportunity to introduce themselves to the audience, so introduce away.
Okay, well, I'm Daniel Coleman, like you said, and I want to thank Eureka Broadcasting for holding this so that we have an opportunity to get our information out there. A little about me, I am a honorably discharged Vietnam-era U.S. Navy veteran. I have been married to my wife, Susanna, for 34 years. I have four adult children and three grandchildren. Two of my grandchildren attend the newly consolidated school district. After my military service, I have dedicated my entire career to education. I received a BA in early childhood development and a multiple subjects credential from Cal State Los Angeles. While attending university, I volunteered at Head Start, worked as a lunchroom aide, and also worked as a classroom aide. I held a position as a teacher with LE Unified for a few years before moving to Fortuna in 1982. I then attended Humboldt State University, receiving a master's degree in education and a specialist credential. I have held a position as a teacher working at South Fortuna Elementary School for over 26 years. I have spent many years in educational leadership. Currently, I volunteer as a citizen on patrol with the Fortuna Police Department, and also am currently on the 2011-2012 Humboldt County Grand Jury.
And other than that, you don't do too much?
No.
Yeah, okay.
Just run for the school board.
All right, Dan, let's get it going here. What's the biggest challenge facing the new unified school board?
Well, absolutely, it's funding, and that's been a problem for a few years now. I've heard you talk with Dr. Eagles, and I think he's mentioned that there have been $16 billion in cuts over the last few years to public education. So it's becoming critical. In fact, this past year, in the kindergarten classes at South Fortuna Elementary School, they had 31 students, and that's pretty outrageous. So I'd like to see if there's something that we can't do about that. The election in November is going to have an initiative where there will be a small increase in sales tax. And at this point, I'd just like to encourage everyone to vote for that, because that is critical to funding education in the near future.
As you look at some of the different challenges of taking two cultures and blending, is that something that you see is going to be a healthy process for the kids as well as for the community?
Well, yeah. Well, you know, when we first moved here in 1982, my wife and I were astounded to find that in the city of Fortuna, there were two different districts. That was very surprising. And it's been a long time in coming, but the two districts are finally joining together. It makes sense. We are one community, and we should be one district. I think there's going to be unknowns, and we're just going to handle those as they come. But I think for the most part, everyone's very excited about being united and being one district in our city. So I think it's a good thing. I think it's a positive thing, and I think it's something that's going to have a long-term great impact on the children of our community.
As you look at the staff consolidation also, I would imagine that there's been a little bit of them versus us. Natural rivalry that goes on with, you know, right, any kind of situation. How do you break down some of those, or do you see that they may not even be entrenched enough to have anything to break down?
Well, of course, there's been a rivalry between Fortuna and Ronaville ever since I've come to the community, and that's shown in all, like, when they've had basketball tournaments or any other kind of competition, and so it's always been a kind of friendly rivalry. So as far as the teachers coming together, right now, they get out early a little every Wednesday, usually so that they can have some work time to work together at grade level. But once a month, they've been taking some time to work together, get to know each other, and work on things together. So there's a real positive vibe going on among the teachers that they really want to work together. They really want to make this work.
You mentioned the funding part, and how much is too much? How much is enough as far as funding for the classroom setting? Connected to that, obviously, is the 31 kids also. How do you make the determination? What sense do you have? At what point is a classroom fully funded?
Well, at this point, the state of California ranks about, I think, 47th or 48th out of the 50 states in funding per student. And I think that that is terrible. We used to be at the top, and now we're at the bottom. And I'd like to see increase in funding. If we got to the middle, I think that would be a really great thing. So right now, being at close to the bottom, in the bottom five for funding per student in the state of California is not okay.
I've asked you, you mentioned that you listened to me and Gary talk
right,
bit. When I ask him if it's for American students, not total students in the classroom, we're in the top 10. So you've got, there's a little bit of a dynamic there.
Well, not
to say that that experience is in Humboldt County. I mean, there certainly are a number of school districts throughout the state that do have a number of undocumented students in the classroom. Okay.
Right. Not
to steer off the track, so to speak, with this. But I'm wondering, you know, how much technology is needed, how much of the new, latest, greatest textbooks are needed. At what point does a classroom become fully funded? I don't know. Didn't know if you had a
I don't have the magic number, but I know right now it's not adequate. If you went into any of the classrooms, I think you'd find that the computers are the old Mac computers that we got when I first started there. And that's pretty outrageous.
Now we're on the same beam. When you think of challenges also in the district, there's financial. We've talked a little bit about the cultural stuff. What about the structural? Is there the playgrounds? Is there the school buildings? Is there the facilities to be able to have, along with the cash flow, obviously, to have the facilities to be maintained, or is that something else that's going to be having to be addressed in the next little bit?
Well, last year, a bond was passed up in the district where I live in the Ronaville area, and it was a $5 million bond to have that school rebuilt, I guess would be how you would put it. And so right now, the teachers are moving their things out of the classroom as they can, so that reconstruction can start here this summer. So the voters of Fortuna have passed that bond, and it is going to be used to rebuild that school. And if you've had the opportunity to visit Town School, a bond was passed several years ago down in the Fortuna area as opposed to the Ronaville area to get that school rebuilt. And if you haven't had the opportunity to, I'd invite everyone to go and take a look. That is beautiful right now, a beautiful new school for the kids.
You're listening to Meet the Candidate series. In the segment, we're hearing from Daniel Coleman, candidate for the new consolidated Fortuna Elementary School, Unified Elementary School.
No, it's just Fortuna Elementary.
Somebody was giving me a hard time.
You know, they dropped the Unified because that was what the school had been called, so they had to drop it for the state of California.
Second area of discussion. What should parents of children attending, or pardon me, why should parents of children attending Fortuna Elementary Schools be excited about you being elected to the board?
Well, Brian, it all boils down to experience. I've been a part of it for the last 26, 27 years, so I've been in the trenches. I know exactly what's going on. I know the administrators. I know most of the teachers, and I have a lot of experience. I've attended, 80% of the board meetings for the last 10 years, so I know exactly what's been happening at the board meetings. I'm going to all the consolidated board meetings happening right now. So I'm trying to keep on top of everything. I have a lot of experience, a lot of leadership in the past in education. I think that that's what I bring, and that's what parents should be excited about.
The concept of being one of the inside or being on the board and knowing what's going on versus somebody who's outside, you're kind of in that middle ground because you see what's going on, but you haven't been in a decision-making position. If you're elected and you become one of the decision makers, how do you continue to be getting the information and the ideas and the freshness, if you will, from being outside and injecting that into the school board and into the school district?
Well, I've always been very interested in education. Now that I'm on the Humboldt grand jury, I find that there are these amazing people who know about city issues and all these people who know about county issues. And I found that I was a little inadequate. Unless it was an educational issue, I really didn't have a lot to offer. But when it comes to education, I have a lot to offer. It's what I understand. It's what I keep up with. And so I'm always looking at the latest things that are going on in education. I'm up on the election going on in November. Education excites me. It's what interests me. And that is what I would like to be a part of, because ever since I started retired from teaching last year, I've missed not contributing to the welfare of our children, and that's what I would really like to get back into.
Let's run into the third area here of general discussion. Daniel, funding, curriculum, and staff issues are often all that we hear about from school boards. What area of being a school board member interests you the most?
Well, of course, it's the children. In fact, last week I got to go down to the kindergarten classes at South Fortuna Elementary with Officer Primo Fiore, and we got to do a little session with the kindergarten kids, and that was incredibly exciting for me. So the most important aspect of education is absolutely the children.
As you look at the curriculum and some of the different pressures that are out there today, either for acceptance into a four-year institution out of high school, or just even being able to get into the high school, how do you balance, or how would you suggest it's balanced, so that the kids still are kids, but that they're also properly prepared to be able to go to the next level?
Well, I think that there is a program going on right now at South Fortuna Elementary School, and they're encouraging the kids to think about college now. And if their parents sign a paper, it will guarantee them entry into Humboldt State University. So there's a program going on right now where you can get accepted into Humboldt State University right now.
With some of the different funding pressures that there are and some of the requirements, I guess, at the state as well as at the local level, I'm thinking of the school nutrition programs, some of the extracurricular. How do you prioritize the delicate balance of the budget between, say, a music program, athletics, the nutrition program, the funding into the classroom that you were referencing, or electronics into the classroom? How do you determine which areas really need to have enough funding or a preponderance of the funding?
Well, in that aspect, I think we really are going to have to open it up to the staff and get a lot of divergent ideas, because it is so critical to try to keep the arts in with the education. And so it's a real hard balancing act. But I think if we try to keep the process transparent as possible with as many people as possible involved, then we can come up with the right solution for how we should spend the budget. And it's going to be very tough as we go forward.
Now, you said staff. What role do you perceive the parents need to take?
Well, the parents are involved in the school site council, and also parents are always welcome at board meetings. And so if the parents would make their feelings known through the site council or come to the board meetings, that would be a very good opportunity for the parents to tell us what their desires are, what's important to them. And when I've gone to the board meetings, some parents have actually sent checks to make sure that the music program would continue. And so it's vital that the parents tell us what's very important to them so that we can do the best thing for the children. It's got to be an open process.
You got a minute left. You said you wanted to have a closing statement, so rather than me pursuing, you got till the magic dong there goes off on the clock.
All right. Well, as an experienced educator in this district for many years, I ask for your support. Board members should lead the district, and here are my commitments if I should be elected. I will read my board packet in advance. I will attend school night and open house at all the schools. I will advocate for best teaching practices. I will encourage higher student test scores. I will help guide the superintendent. I will support our students in all areas. I will advocate for our teacher and support personnel. I will attend negotiations. I believe I can be a positive influence in our new consolidated school district. I would appreciate your vote.
And you timed it out to within 2 seconds. Pretty good job. Thanks for coming by, Daniel.
Thank you, Brian.
This segment of Meet the Candidates has been Daniel Coleman.